The Icons of Real Estate Podcast. Are you ready to learn the proven money-making secrets from top-producing icon agents? Ready to skyrocket your business? This podcast is for you. Tune in every week and find out how to implement proven strategies to 10 times your business, from $3 million to $30 million in just 12 months. Brought to you by the Masters in Real Estate Marketing, Ardor SEO.
Welcome to the Icons of Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Elwin, and today's guest is a seasoned veteran who has seen all the good, bad, and ugly that real estate has to offer. It's this that has made him known for his compassionate approach to helping families navigate their transactions. Former Air Force officer, a qualified mechanical engineer, and 5 times KW Bowl graduate, he's here to share with us just how he's able to get more out of every deal by adding more value in the process. All the way from Tacoma, Washington, Zach Entwistle. Zach, really good to have you on the show.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm wonderful. Dare I ask, what's the weather like in Tacoma?
It's a little bit overcast, but it's warm. I actually drove my son to school this morning, had my sunroof open, listening to some music. It was great.
So is that the sunroof hairstyle?
It's just I've had the same hairstyle since I was in the Air Force, 20 plus years ago, and It works for me. I've tried the long hair when I was in high school and it didn't work. So I just have always had the same haircut.
Man, I would never even try to do long hair because whenever I do, it's completely defined. It only grows in the back. And I don't think I can pull off a mullet. I don't think I'm ready for that yet. So everyone who comes into the show, all of our icons of real estate have a story to tell. And I think you're the best person to tell it. So take us on a journey from then till now. How did everything that led up to you being in real estate?
Mm-hmm. So I have a very analytical mind. I went to school for mechanical engineering, as you mentioned, went to college and did the ROTC program and got into the Air Force, which was wonderful. It was a great experience. And I knew that it wasn't my career path. So I decided I needed to do something different. And I was really struggling. I was actually working on my credentials to become a teacher. And my girlfriend at the time worked in the school district and she said, you're too entrepreneurial. You would really struggle with the amount of bureaucracy in the school districts. So I started thinking about what could I do? And my mom had owned businesses in the past. And so I thought, someday it might be nice to own a business. Well, didn't really know what that would look like, but I had read a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. Yeah. And in that book, he mentions that to be a business owner, you have to have 3 skill sets. You have to have sales and marketing, you have to have leadership, and you have to have finance. And he also goes on to say that you should pick a job that will teach you those skills. And so I thought to myself, well, okay, I've done 4 years of ROTC and 4 years as in the Air Force. I've learned a thing or two about managing people and working with people. So leadership, okay, I've got that. I've got at least a handle on that. Let me think about the other two. And I couldn't really see a good transition into finance. Didn't really think of anything that made sense. So then I thought, okay, let's go to sales and marketing. And if my job is to learn sales and marketing, then I needed to figure out some sort of job that would teach me sales and marketing. So I thought, okay, maybe I could sell copiers because Xerox, had a great training program at the day, but I didn't really get excited about copiers. I'm not really a consumer of cars or any kind of big type products. Yeah. And so I was really struggling what I could sell. And then I thought, well, wait, I had bought a home and I believe in real estate. And when I thought to myself, I had done a ton of research trying to find a great realtor. And the realtor that I hired, she was nice, but she wasn't anything to write home about. And I thought, well, maybe real estate. And I gave that a go, I tried that on and I talked to my commander before I left the service. And I said, hey, before I leave, can I do some research with the guys in my unit? And he said, sure. And so I went around and I talked to the guys in my unit and said, hey, what was, have you ever used a realtor? If you have, what was the best thing a realtor ever did for you? What was the worst thing a realtor ever did for you? And I realized that there was a lot of need. And I saw that it was a job where you could make some money. It's a job where there's need, And it was also a job where you're helping people transition, which I really liked. And I did that when I was in the Air Force. So it became a very natural, let's give this a go so that I can learn sales and marketing. And maybe one day I'll own a business. I had no idea that real estate was its own business. But live and learn.
That's awesome. So it's safe to say that experience that you had with that first agent sort of spurred you on and made you exactly the sort of agent you wanted to be. We've heard those teachings. They're just in a different formula. It's be the leader for others that you wish was leading you, management style, anything else. So you've kind of taken that on for what you do in real estate. And I think that key difference between someone having a good experience, and you said you didn't have a bad experience, there wasn't anything memorable about it. So the difference between being a good experience and a bad experience and a memorable experience, where you want to go back to that same realtor, that's something that has to be that you have to put attention to. What do you do to ensure you get repeat clients?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's a whole bunch of little things, right? I mean, it's one of those things that I'm constantly coming back to, that atomic habits idea of 1% improvement, 1% improvement, 1% improvement. And you just keep coming back and saying, okay, if I could get it just a little bit better, right? Because I mean, ultimately we sell two products, buy a home, sell a home. That's it. And so if I can just keep improving that process just a little bit. So one of the things that I do is that I attend every signing, every closing, every escrow, I attend. And we make it a big fanfare. So in the beginning of the transaction, we will reach out to the person who's our client, and we'll send them a questionnaire called the All About You questionnaire. And we're asking them a lot of questions. What's your favorite snack food? Do you drink alcohol? What is your favorite celebration alcohol? Just a lot of different type of questions.
Which people and love
answering. I use that. They do. And because it feels like I'm being customized too, right? It feels like a Ritz-Carlton type experience. So what happens is we take that information from the beginning of the transaction. And then when it comes to closing, we always do the closings in our office, which we schedule with escrow and with a notary. And at that closing, we have a slideshow with all of the pictures, all the glamour shots of the home that they just sold or the home they just bought. So it's going, and it's an endless loop. And then we have some celebration music going on, and then we have their favorite alcohol and their favorite, or if they don't drink, then their sparkling cider or whatever their beverage of choice is, and their favorite snacks. And we put their name in lights, like we've got a welcome, congratulations. Yeah. I actually had this happen yesterday when my seller came in for her signing, and she walked in and she goes, "Did you call my daughter? Like, how did you know?" And she's like, "Oh, wait, I filled out that survey." She's like, "You just took it over the top," right? So after signing, we all had, a little thing of bourbon, and we were able to enjoy and celebrate. And she was like, "I've never had a realtor make it such a great experience." And I think the
awesome
word on the street is you shouldn't go to signings. And yet I'm going to tell you that's the time to like finish it out.
That's where everything you've done has culminated. That's the only time you've officially finished your job.
Correct.
Well, yeah, for someone who prides himself on being quite analytical, sorry about that, Zach, a little bit of a delay there. If someone who prides himself on being quite analytical, you've got a lot of fanfare. I mean, that must be quite a sensory overload. I can't imagine not remembering that.
Yeah, we make it a party. And I think so often when you go to escrow, your realtor's not there. It feels like you're going to the sterile environment with some stranger and you're signing all these papers. You come to my office, which you already know. You've got your favorite drink. You've got your favorite snack.
Yeah.
I'm there so that there's no question that can't go answered, unanswered. Like, it becomes a really great experience.
Awesome. So I'm curious, and you can chalk it off to, you can forgive me if it's a bit of an obvious question, but what is 0% home improvement loans? What are they, and how are you using it to help your clients at the moment?
Excellent. Yeah. So my niche is downsizers, and I really focus that's my target. So people who are downsizing, people, estates and divorces, like that's the key demographic. Okay. And so our target market you know, a lot of times they've had deferred maintenance on their home, right? Maybe they're getting older and they've been in their home for 30 or 40 years and the home has gotten tired because they've just run out of energy and they don't have a lot of available cash because they're on a fixed income, right? And so maybe it still has the shag carpet, maybe it still has the bamboo wallpaper, and maybe it still has the sparkles in the popcorn ceiling.
Wow,
and so
back,
all of those
Eddie.
things yeah right I mean but it's a great home. It's a great home. It served this
Good
family
bones.
well, right? And so what happens is that home, when you put it on the market like that, it's going to attract a garage sale type buyer, right? A wholesale, a flipper, somebody like that who can say, I can see the potential. I give this thing a facelift and all of a sudden I'd be able to sell it for a lot more, right? So that's the traditional grandma's house or elderly type home. And so my thinking is we can do better than that. And so what I'll do is I'll actually come in and I work with the sellers and I'll fix up the house for them at cost. So, you know, if the roofer says you need a new, you know, if the inspector says we need a new roof, we get the roof bid and it comes back at $15,000, then I charge them $15,000, right? And when I say charge them, what I do is I pay the money and then at escrow, I just get paid back out of the equity.
Yeah. Okay.
And I do that at zero interest. And we just take care of all of the little things. And so we're able to get a much higher sale price for the home than they would have if they were to just put it on the market as is, seller to do no work type thing.
Well, first impressions definitely matter. And we all, any realtor who's been in that sort of situation knows it doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter if those improvements are going to be done. Yes, your buyer walks through the door. You tell them, no, don't worry, that's going to be done. And, you know, we're in the process of, if they've seen it like that, that's the price point they're stuck on. You're not going to get them through on that imagination process. That's really,
Correct.
Really cool. And I think you're selling yourself short. You almost downsized your own performance there, because it's not just unheard of to find but it's definitely not few and far between to find a real estate agent who helps with something like that. I have in my own experience found that sometimes the attorneys might want to get involved, but that's because the market's different and back in South Africa. But it's not just that. It's not just a realtor is willing to do it. Realtor is willing to do it at no profit to themselves. So yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. I run a volume game, right? So I think if I can sell a lot of homes and I'll get my commission, then it works out really great, right? And I do in my paperwork, just so everybody knows, the paperwork does have some languaging to protect me. And so what it says in the paperwork is that the money is borrowed at 18% interest. If the money is paid back at escrow, the interest is waived. And so to date, knock on wood, I've never had a client pay me interest.
Awesome.
I don't want to be paid interest. I just want to make sure that I don't get taken advantage of from somebody who decides, you know what, we really like the home, we're just going to stay and we'll pay you back when we want to. No, that doesn't really work. So
absolutely.
Yeah, there is some protection for me.
So, and I have to imagine if you're ever committing to do something like that, you're going to be a bit more discerning about the listings you take on. What steps do you take before onboarding a listing to know if that's something you're willing to take risk on?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a big thing is really understanding the motivation of the seller. That to me is the crux of everything, motivation and time frame. And so if I get a sense that they're really not all that motivated to sell, then I will tighten my, you know, my purse strings really fast and just not do that. There has to be a significant desire and reason for why they're selling, right? Their husband just passed away, their hip broke, they need to do this, they need to do that. I was named in orders in the divorce case. They have to sell, right? Those are what I'm looking for. And I also need to make sure that there's equity. And so when we sit down on our first meeting, I do a CMA with them so that they can see the numbers with me. We do a net proceeds to make sure that they have a good amount of equity and I'm not getting close to that margin number. We order title very quickly to make sure that there's no silent seconds or anything along those lines. And the whole time when I'm talking to them, so this is just my own personal bias, but selling a home is not a fun process. I don't think moving is fun. I don't believe everybody should do it. To me, selling a home is kind of like going through a divorce. right? You do it if you have to, but ideally you hold on to real estate. If it makes sense, hold on to it.
Absolutely.
So I go in really kind of like, have you thought about all of the other options? Just like, no, a divorce attorney that I know is like, woohoo, divorce is the best. You should get a divorce because I need more business. Like, no divorce attorneys like
that.
But if you're going to do it, you're going to do it as well as you can. And that's what I think about. So the constant refrain for me is, really, have you thought about, maybe you've got a family member who wants to live here. Maybe you want to, you know, hold on to it. Maybe there's some way we can have you keep it. And they almost have to talk me into why they have to sell, okay, as opposed to anything else. And if they can talk me into why they have to sell, then now, once again, that shows a strong motivation. Because if I can talk them out in that first conversation, then they probably shouldn't sell anyways. And
absolutely,
that works for everybody.
Yeah, and rather give them that that out before we invest any, not even money. Money's easy. You can make more money. That time, that energy.
Correct.
I imagine you, especially with your analytical mind, you're probably taking that list, that property itself through its own little due diligence. Do you have any sort of an inspection process that you're prefacing it with?
Yeah, 100%. And if anybody's curious, you can go to my website, zachentwistle.com, and in the resources tab, there's one called the Downsizing for Top Dollar System, and it breaks down the entire system. So I'd encourage, it's a good place to go and just read over it. It's like 5 steps.
Wonderful.
And goes over it. But yeah, step one is just kind of getting an overview of the whole process. Step two is a pre-inspection of the home, right? So we're going to take its home completely through its paces. So We're gonna have a structural inspection from the roof down to the foundation. We're gonna have the well looked at if it's on a well. We're gonna have the sewer line looked at. We're gonna have the septic system looked at. We're gonna look at everything.
Yeah.
Because to me, before we start working on the outfit of the home,
yeah,
we gotta make sure that the bones are good and there's not internal bleeding or there's not a raccoon infestation or there's not chewed wires and something. We're about to have a fire or, you know,
absolutely,
maybe
termites,
the subfloor
like
of
that,
the bathroom is going to collapse because there's so much rot from a leak from a wax ring that's been compressed.
Are these just generic examples or any of these part of like a horror story you've had before?
No, these are multiple. I mean, we have these happen all the time where the client didn't know that there was a roof leak or, you know, like I said, there was a family of raccoons and they had chewed through all the electrical and all
crazy,
the plumbing. And so it was nasty downstairs. You know, down in the crawl space, but how often do you go in your crawl space, right? So we look at the whole thing, and that just allows for when the buyer comes into the home, they can look at it both from the, you know, the aesthetic perspective, but also the structural, because we give them a copy of the pre-inspection. We give them a list of all the work that they've done. And so now we know that this is a full product that we can feel really good about. And oftentimes, so we just had one where we put a house on the market. We had 34 offers. Of the 34 offers that came in, 27 of them waived their inspection because we had done
Wonderful.
So much pre-work, legwork. So it works beautifully.
And those little key things, that just speeds up the process. I mean, it closes sooner, people get paid sooner, everyone's happy.
Absolutely. Yep.
So I'm hearing more and more often that 2.5% is the new 3%. Now, we've already said this is primarily an agent podcast, so I'm just going to throw it out there. But I also think I think you can ask for any number as long as you're able to justify and commit to adding that level of value. But what do you do personally to position yourself so that you can ask for more?
Yeah, so we typically we charge between 6% and 7% total. And obviously prices are always negotiable. So this is not price fixing.
Perfect.
So charge whatever you want to charge. So, but we charge between 6% and 7%, and of which if it's 6%, then we take 3.5% and we give 2.5%. And if we charge 7%, we take 4.5% and give 2.5%. 2.5% has been the standard buyer commission in our area for a long time. And so because we do so much preliminary work, we don't feel bad about having a disparity between the two. Because we really make it so easy for the buyer to walk through and the agent to just get paid. So, but because I'm fronting so much money and the average spend that I have on a listing is $30,000. I've lent as much as $70,000 on a single project. And so when you think about how hard it would be to borrow that money and to, you know, the fees on that, then to hire a general contractor manager who's going to oversee and coordinate all of the repairs, right? It's one of those things that almost becomes a no-brainer because when you think about how much all of that would cost, when we're charging seven, it's typically the owners are not local. The house is in significant disrepair. So case in point, I had one where this was referred by an attorney, and the house was in a state. The executrix of the only family member in the family who was connected to the home here in this area was back in Oklahoma. So when I walked through the home as is, it would have sold for about $400,000. So we put $30,000 into the home and we sold it for $560,000. So I got my $30,000 back. The family made $130,000. They didn't care what my commission was, honestly. Like, I probably could have charged 10% if I wanted, because I got them $130,000 more money than they would have if they would just put it on the market with the traditional agent.
Cool. Yeah. And that sort of approach is a no-brainer, really. I mean, especially if you're taking on all that from them. Zach, I have to say, I know you've positioned yourself as the niche. Your niche is the downsizers guide. I would maybe ask that you consider, what really sounds like what you've done is you've found a beautiful way of marrying that analytical head that you have with a really wholesome, hearty, I actually care about the process feel. So, you know, heart and head definitely seems to be why anyone in Tacoma should be referring. I mean, either chatting with you, especially if they're going through a divorce or any sort of other sort of stress like that, where the property is involved, or if they've got clients that are in that position. Assuming that's going out right now, and there's someone listening, and they thinking that's exactly what I need Zach for. How do my viewers get in touch with you?
So there's a couple ways. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram, and on there it's got my banner of all of that, has my contact information. It's also got a link right to the guide. I think the guide is really probably where I would start anybody, because the guide is going to walk you through the process. It's got my bio. It's got my contact information at the bottom of every page. So at any point you can reach out to me. But the guide really spells out how this whole goes down. And so if you have a client who's thinking about downsizing, a lot of times they're a little bit nervous about calling a salesperson because they don't want to be convinced into something. Whereas if you go and download it, you can read it. It's about, about a 15-page document. It's full color, so you can see it. It's not just like a lot of straight text, but it's really well done, I think. And I say that because I wrote it, so there's a little bit of bias there. But that's probably the best place to go, is to just go to my website, zachandtwistle.com, and then click on the resources tab, and then go down to the downsizing for top dollar. And that way you can read about it, you know, but at any point you can call me, you can Facebook message me, you can Instagram me. Easy. There's lots of ways to get in touch with me.
Awesome. Well, Zach, I've really enjoyed having you on the show, and I'm pretty sure the next time I have you on the show is when you're going to have broken one or two more records, at least for yourself. And that's kind of a good question to leave it off from your side. What is next for your group, or for the Entwistle team?
Yeah, so I just recently hired a salesperson, because one of the things that I've been visioning and my business has been growing, I've decided I want to travel more. And so my current vision is I want to be able to leave the country for a week every 3 months and go see the world. So I just got back from Hong Kong with my boys. I'm planning a trip to Turkey. South Africa's on the list. There's a lot of fun places in the world that I haven't been. I can make some good recommendations. I love it. So yeah, so my intention is that I want to be able to leave for 10 days and know that my business is taken care of, and know that if an attorney refers in a client that needs to go, we can get them all taken care of. And so that's really the iteration of the team. Does a great job already of taking care of my clients. Yeah. But just needing to make sure we have it on the sales side as well, so that we can close those leads as they're coming in. That's the vision of where we're heading in the next 12 months. But it seems like it's just very upward trajectory, and it's really exciting for me.
It's exciting. It's exciting to see from our side as well. So definitely going to put you on the list for a return visit sometime in the future. Zach, really appreciate having you on the show. And for myself, Ken Elvin at Icons of Real Estate Podcast, and Zach Entwistle from Tacoma, Washington, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.